Here we go, OC. It's the start of our wonderful podcast, the Jason and OC podcast. Some people call it the OC and Jason podcast. I want people to subscribe. They won't miss an episode. We are recording every Thursday. This is amazing, and I want to start this off, OC. I have a question.
You want love in return? You got to show love.
Show my man love, and you know, we'll figure out what's up after that.
Yes, sir.
I have a question.
What you got for me, Jay?
You're a person who has many skill sets outside of sports and anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, you love movies.
Oh, I do.
You love different avenues of fun. You do a lot of things. What games or things that you've done helped you mentally in football? Like, just your mental makeup when you think back. And almost go back to your playing days, because you were a guy, you chilled out. Mm-hmm. You know, when you got out with us, we had a good time, but you took care of business.
Yeah.
What did you do that nobody knows that you think, man, that helped me have a mental edge?
As far as games, I'll say the one game that I played all the time that I feel like helped me in not only life and football and everything was Monopoly.
Yo, keep Monopoly. Going. Keep going.
I promise you. Once you understand Monopoly and the concept of what they're trying to do, I think it just kind of opens your mind to because it's the way the world works.
Agreed.
You understand what I'm
agreed.
Trying to say?
Agreed. Wholeheartedly
so for
agreed.
Me, Monopoly was the game that, you know what I mean, that I felt like I got good at, and it helped me in life, man.
Were you a good negotiator as far as the properties are concerned?
Excellence.
Really?
Excellence. Excellent negotiator. Like, I knew when to save my money. I knew when to spend it. I knew what to buy. I knew what not to buy. What I would do, sometimes I would, like, hide my property. I would hide it under the board so they wouldn't see what I had. And all of a sudden, I'll pull it out. So you'd be like, oh, he had Pennsylvania and Border. It was nuts, man. But I love Monopoly, man. I felt like that game helped me, man.
I don't know how this led into this. I was very curious because I had read something about a lineman, and he talked about Monopoly.
Okay.
And then I'm not going to tell you who he
Did
is.
Did he? But he
talked about Monopoly. His quarterback is a famous great quarterback, and he talked about how this guy was – whenever he played a game, he would catch on to the nuances of the game so quickly, the same way he does with plays and playbooks and stuff like that. And I thought that truly translates.
Right.
And I knew you had something in you like that.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you said that. I'm going to tell you what, though. There's some people out there. There's some coaches. There's some general managers. They need to play Monopoly.
Okay. And you're right. They do.
Need to play Monopoly.
They do.
And I'm thinking of my former team.
Which one?
The Houston Texans.
Mm. And you say this because of the not protecting their investment correctly? Like, why do
you say this? Because the head coach is now the GM by default because the GM they wanted didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at the moves. Let me go to my notes real quick, OC, because this is serious. They're paying Jadeveon Clowney, they're still paying $7 million of his salary.
Wow.
They just cut Aaron Colvin, another high-priced free agency. Mm-hmm. They're paying him $7.5 million. Mm-hmm. And they cut him because they kind of made him the scapegoat on that last play that Ted Ginn from the Saints caught the ball and they kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
So he's a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Early in the season.
That's an expensive scapegoat.
Right.
Though.
But early in the season, is there always kind of a scapegoat, you think, sometimes? I don't feel like later in the season you've cut a guy as a scapegoat. I think early. What do you think?
It can't be just that. It can't be.
He's been having struggles.
You know how terrible a player has to be?
7.5, man. Million.
To still pay him that to not be on your roster? They could have had him cleaning the bat. They could have had him doing something.
He made the opening day roster.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And then you're paying Matt Khalil. You gave him $2.5 million signing bonus. Mm-hmm. And now you don't know you're going to get they traded for Laremy Tunsil. He came in. But that's a lot.
Of dead money, man. That's what it is.
That's a lot of
dead money.
He needs to play Monopoly.
Yeah. So he'd know how to manage money better. Manage his pieces. that's crazy.
I mean,
crazy.
I just thought about that off the top.
Yeah.
Monopoly is key. Yeah. And I think you have to be a well-rounded individual to do it. I guarantee he's good at Monopoly.
Who's that?
Come on, you know who it is.
Bill Belichick?
Yes, sir.
They probably have his face on the actual cover now. You know that guy who they have with the mustache?
Yeah.
They probably removed his face and put Bill Belichick's face on the cover of Monopoly, man. Incredible.
He is killing.
Crazy.
Because the stuff he does, he doesn't make those kind of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think—
Like never.
No.
I've never seen it.
No, and I think that our listeners, we always trying to give you a nugget. Everybody's always looking at the players. You know, sometimes they're always looking at the coaches. Mm-hmm. But what's happening? What's the Monopoly moves teams are making?
Well, maybe he made a mistake this one time.
What did he do? Oh!
Maybe just recently.
Just this one time?
Maybe just recently he might have. But yeah, let's not talk about that, man. Let's not give that
Do you think he had all the information when that happened?
There's no possible way he had the information.
The current information on Antonio Brown that I don't even— You don't want to discuss. I don't want to discuss because, I mean—
You know. I feel—
Maybe we should discuss.
I feel terrible for— If, for instance, what this woman is accusing him of—
Which is right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's— If it's true—
Yes.
I feel terrible for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, nobody should have to go through that.
Nobody should have to.
On the other hand, if it's not true—
Whoa.
I feel terrible for him. Mm-hmm. Because there's people who levy false accusations against people all the time. Like, I've experienced that before.
Yeah.
I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we don't have all the information, we don't know if this is true or not. Like, it's so easy to jump the gun. And for some odd reason, right?
Yes.
For some odd reason in this world we live in, mm-hmm. whenever somebody is successful or somebody's doing well and somebody says something bad about them, it's like 90% of the people want to believe that immediately. And—
Absolutely.
I can't wrap my head around why people immediately want to believe the negative. Like, I've had people say things about me that just literally don't make sense. You understand what I mean?
Like, you're like, I'm in my body.
Makes no sense. And then I would see the responses, and I'll be like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you believe that? Like, then I start questioning myself. I'm like, what is it about me that would make you want immediately just believe something because some random person said it? It doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm not saying this happened here because she seems credible. And there are a lot of things that she's saying mm-hmm. that seem really, really credible. Mm-hmm. But then, just the fact that I've had experience, well, not that, but I've had experience with things in that nature, and I know what it's like to be falsely accused of something,
right.
I just refuse to jump the gun. And so it's a crazy situation, man.
I think you're right. I think it takes— everybody needs to push the pause button on when any kind of scenario like this happens, because you have to check yourself and how you view things. Because some people just like negative things to happen to others, and they don't even know it, OC. That we call it the haters. We joke about it, but truly there are some people that can't have happiness unless somebody else is in turmoil or sad or something's going down. I mean, you see it in some of these magazines out here. I mean, in newspapers across the world, where it's like they build you up to break you down. Like, why? And you want to blame them. You want to say, oh, this outlet and that outlet.
It's not
them. It's the consumer.
It's the consumer. It's the consumer.
It's the consumer. The consumer directs their objective. They're not going to sell you some shoes you don't want to buy.
Nah.
If all of a sudden we want to wear soleless shoes, people are like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
But people wanted to buy them. Well, people make soleless shoes.
100%.
It's crazy. All we can do as individuals and say, hey, let me check myself so I'm not a part of this problem.
Yeah.
Because then those—
But the thing is,
I don't know.
I don't think you can— it's hard for people to get to that point unless that happens to them.
Oh, for sure.
You understand what I mean? Like, unless something like that happens to you, it's hard for you to just
say, slow down.
You know what? No, I'm not gonna— I'm gonna wait to— It's just a difficult thing to do, man. And it's really unfortunate. But speaking of sadness,
yes,
I wanted to discuss something with you today.
I'm listening,
because I read this article today, and it was about five former players who had retired.
These are NFL players.
NFL players.
Okay.
Who had retired.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And it was talking about, like, their process, their mental health, the things that they went through.
All right.
And how that affected them. Because there's some people who retire well.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people who don't retire
yes.
well. And so given your situation mm-hmm. and the things that happened to you and how that happened, I wanted you to explain how you felt when the game was almost taken away from you and how you were able to cope with that mentally, man, because I have my situation. I'm going to go into that, but I want to discuss with you your thought process on how that happened and how you felt about it.
You know what's interesting about this is, and I'm glad you brought this up, for those listening, this is so important because your first year out, like week one, week two, this is when the pain hits.
Yeah.
Like this is exactly when it becomes apparent it's over.
Yep.
So like this has some serious relevance as far as where we are. And what happened to me is luckily I was the person that knew I was done. I think when you're on the fence and you can still play, it's actually harder. Mm-hmm. I knew I was done. Our good friend, Ronnie Barnes, head trainer of the New York Giants, looked at my x-rays and everything and got me with the best doctors. Son, it's over for you. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't.
What was that like? What was that moment like?
It was painful. It was very painful, yet it was comforting to know that I knew the direction I was going in. Like, I knew it was over.
Yeah.
I wasn't guessing. And I think the guessing game is hard. So I knew it was over. And I knew what career I was going to do. All that being said, that year was dark. That was a dark year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was dark until our friend, Carlos Emmons, who retired with me at the same time, years later said, people around him said, man, that first year was tough. And people around me said the same thing. Mm-hmm. All our friends are still playing. Y'all were still playing.
Yeah.
Like, we just had to talk to each other. And we talked to each other every day for hours. Mm. Like, how do you stay on the phone with another grown man for 6 hours a day?
Yeah.
And think it's like, just because you don't have, I mean, you just need to talk it through. Luckily, I had him. But it was hard. It was dark. And I think that at that point in time, if you have any vices that are bad and you don't have people around you that are there to make sure you do not go down that road, things can happen bad very fast because you got time. If you've done right, you got resources and you got, you know, and nobody's there to check you. You don't have to walk into a facility every day and somebody looks at you and goes, oh, so you straight?
Yeah,
you good?
Yeah.
Everything straight, man?
Yeah.
Why are you so quiet today? Mm. Well, for you, you were quiet. But if you weren't joking around or something, if you were around and you weren't joking around, people would be like, what's wrong with OC?
Right.
But when you don't have that, it's hard. And there's a lot of guys going through that in week two when they didn't get that call after training camp, when a job was available they thought would be there. And now they're probably pouring all their self and resources into something they won't be doing in a year, you know?
That's crazy.
So.
Yeah. For me, it was I don't really know how to, you know, put it into word, but it was a little different for me in the fact that I'd played a long time.
A long time.
12 seasons.
Yeah.
I had literally accomplished everything.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Everything. And so it was definitely the right time to walk away from the game. Mm-hmm. But here's the issue I had. Is, as an accomplished player, my last year in Atlanta didn't go well. It's not that I felt like I didn't perform up to the way that I was capable of performing. My last year in Atlanta.
Your standard.
Exactly. And so there was a lot of talk. It was a lot of, this guy's washed and, you know, maybe he can't play anymore. But, like, when I was watching myself and I was very critical of myself, like, the speed was still there, the explosion, all that stuff was still there. But I just wasn't putting up the numbers. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go play another year or two. Because I didn't want that taste in my mouth, man. Like, my
didn't
last
game. Didn't
want
to leave it out on the field.
My last game against the Carolina Panthers, I probably played 3 snaps, and we got beat by like 40 points, blown out. That was my last NFL game ever. So in my head, I was like, I can't walk away like that. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me. So I was with my wife. And we were going, we came to visit Barcelona at the time. And so from Barcelona, we're going to Madrid. Those are two places that I'd always wanted to go. Mm-hmm. So I was on a train. We were on a train from Barcelona to Madrid. And there was this movie that my wife told me to watch. It was called Birdman, The Theory of Everything. I don't know if you've seen that movie or not. So as I was watching the movie on the train, she just said, she was just like, watch this movie. As I was watching this movie, it's about a guy, he was like a big-time actor, and then, you know, it's like he's having issues or he's falling off a little bit, and then it's like his alter ego is talking to him, mm-hmm. right? So as I was watching this movie, there was a scene in the movie, right? This is crazy. There was a scene in the movie where he was having a conversation with his alter ego, and his alter ego was like, go out there. Show them you still got it. You can do this one more time. Go out there. Go get it done. This is also ego telling the athlete that, right?
Uh-huh.
No, not the actor. That. Yeah. And the argument they were having, as soon as I saw that part, mm-hmm. I paused the movie, and I turned to Layla, my wife, and I was like, I'm finished. I'm done.
Did she know what she was doing?
I think she might have. Hey, but she won't admit it to me,
yeah.
But I think she might have, because she watched the movie first
uh-huh.
and then made me watch it.
She's like, go ahead. Didn't tell you what to look for.
Nothing. She was like, watch it. And so as soon as the guy was telling them that, he was like, yeah, you got it. Show them. You got it one more time. Go out there. Give it one more try. And I felt like the guy was literally talking to me.
Oh.
You understand what I mean?
Oh, man.
I felt it in my bones. This guy is talking to me. He's telling me, give this stuff up. You've done everything, man. What are you going to prove to anybody anymore?
Wow.
What are you going to do? And I turned to her. I was like, Layla, I'm finished. And she was like, all right, cool. And, bro, that was it. I went home, washed my hands clean of football. That was it. It was literally a line in a movie that made me stop playing football, bro. Craziness. And I haven't really looked back since. It's been, the only thing I can tell you that I really miss is just like, yeah, it's crazy. It's being around the people, being around like, you know.
The locker room, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, there was nothing left for me to do. And it was a movie that made me realize it, man. It's craziness.
I mean, that's...
Never forget it. I'll never forget that. It's impossible to forget that.
I'm a little speechless.
Yeah.
But because I have to talk because it's a podcast.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought was, you always lead me into great conversations. And the first thing I thought was great people around them. Nobody knows you better than your wife.
Yep.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, you look at movies different. You don't look at it for entertainment.
Right.
You're like getting
learning
everything out of a movie. We've talked about that. So a person who knows you better than anybody, who loves you, who's watching you, says, this might be his answer.
It's crazy. It was crazy.
The luck of the draw.
I was like, oh my God.
On a train
from Barcelona to Madrid. I was like, they're telling me, they're talking to me. Because I don't see why it has to be a bunch of people who are going through that.
Wow.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
It has to be.
Yes.
It was wild.
I think that signs are everywhere. Whatever you're looking for is out there.
Yeah.
And there's people that are constantly trying to help you. As much as we just said earlier about negativity and people knocking you down, there are really people out there trying to help us all.
Yeah.
And if we just lock in
to
a movie, to whatever it is, listen to those around us, they might be telling us something.
Bro, I want you to think about this, right? I want you to think about this. And this is really gonna mess you up mentally, right?
I'm already messed up, man.
This is going to mess you up even more. This is really going to mess you up, right?
All right, okay.
Because I had an offer to keep playing.
Yeah.
If my wife doesn't make me watch that movie.
Oh, don't.
We're not sitting here right now.
Oh, dude, don't even. Don't even start that.
We're not.
I know. And if I don't get hurt, we're not sitting here.
We're not sitting here right now.
None of this is happening.
None of this happens.
You don't do that and I don't get hurt. Because if I don't get hurt, I don't meet a certain someone that gets me over here.
I guess you here. Like, these type of things, like, when I think about them, I'm like, and look at what we've been able to do here. look at how many lives we've affected just by coming here.
Yes.
And
we love it. Out of pain, turmoil, stress.
Comes this.
I don't even know if I'm ready to continue this podcast.
It's emotional.
That is emotional. I am.
It'll mess you up. It'll mess you up, man.
I've been speechless in conversations we've had, but yo, that brings it back home.
It's crazy.
And everybody should probably understand how important their lives are and the people in their lives.
Yeah.
Because who knows what the next move is, but if you just embrace it, my goodness, it could be
incredible.
It could be. Oh,
okay.
OSI.
Where are we at now?
We're at week two. We're at week two.
Okay.
What
are the big games this week?
We got to talk about the Dolphins versus the Patriots. Storyline there. Mm-hmm. Saints, Rams. Mm-hmm. Storyline there. Before I get into that, I want to ask you one quick question, thoughts. And I kind of talked to you earlier about this, but we didn't dig into it. Detroit and the Browns.
Yeah.
To me, both those defenses and defensive lines and defensive fronts mm-hmm. got very tired to me.
Yeah.
Especially Detroit, the comeback of Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, and the Browns, they got explosive players. Now, I know they switched defenses, but they look tired. You look at great teams like the Patriots, what do they pride themselves on?
Conditioning.
Right? They never lose because they get tired.
Yeah.
My question is, especially as a defensive – I was always in condition, you were always in, but you know, as a defensive lineman and seeing that, can you recover from that? Mm-hmm. Or is it too late? Is it too late to now get in shape?
I think it might be during the season. You can't get in shape mm-hmm. during the season. I mean, you can get in what they call football shape.
Yeah, you can. You kind of get conditioned for that.
But real conditioning, because you're not just running that much, man. In practice, your body, after the games, your body's hurting, your body's beat down. You're not just boom, 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 like conditioning. So I don't think your conditioning can improve.
You almost got to maintain it.
You got to maintain
whatever you've come in with.
Exactly.
I agree.
The thing that probably works out in Arizona's favor, well, Detroit's favor, or Cleveland
mm-hmm.
is – Cleveland was playing against Tennessee. Tennessee is a smash mouth,
physical. Goodness.
If you're not scoring points offensively, right? Which Cleveland wasn't doing. If you're not scoring points, you are in for a long
slugfest.
Body blows.
You are getting
body blows.
Beat up.
Body blows. And
I
then
agree.
At the end of the day, you just have nothing left. So a team like Tennessee. You can't, you have to have an offense that's exploding on them.
Yes.
Otherwise, at the end of the day, you're going to be in big, big trouble.
If you're not having long drives where your defense can rest.
Finished.
I mean, it's hard. Being on the field for 10 snaps plus, you're gassed.
Bro, I've been on a drive, right? We're playing against the Dallas Cowboys, all right? 18 play drive.
Oh, geez. That'll break your soul. That'll break your soul.
You know this, the breath. I'm going to tell you the breath. You know the breath I'm talking about, right? It's a. You know?
Yeah. I know that.
That breath right there, that's the point that everybody was in. You can't catch your breath.
18
play drive. Just.
Whenever I saw the D-line breathing like that, I knew. I was like, you better tighten up back here. You better cover because it's not going to be good.
Bro, we are in the defensive line, offensive line. We are in physical close proximity.
You're in a fight.
Contact.
Fight.
Imagine that for 18 straight drives. And I'm talking about it wasn't like no bombs.
Yeah.
Quick pass, run, smash mouth, quick pass. Mm-hmm. So everything was just – And, bro, it's – I'll tell you what separates, athletes mm-hmm. or, you know, the top level from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what separates us right now,
mm-hmm.
if people don't understand this, is that we can get to that point that's that breath right there where your mind is telling you if you take one more step, you're going to die.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And what do?
Take it.
We take that
we
step
take
anyway.
It every time.
We take it anyway.
We push through it, and we're like, when we don't die, we're like, oh.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I didn't die.
Alive.
I mean, that's so true.
That's what separates athletes from everybody else.
The pain tolerance.
Most people will get there and they'll be like, nah.
This isn't safe. Because I don't have that anymore. Like, I kind of have it, but not really. Not like that. Like, I'm aware that I used to.
Yeah.
But yet I don't. So, yeah. Wow. I agree.
Yeah.
Quick. Dolphins versus the Patriots.
Yeah.
They're in Miami, correct?
They're in Miami.
They're in Miami, correct? Yeah. Patriots don't play well in Miami.
Yeah, never have, man. It's hot down there, man, like we discussed. Hot.
It's hot. In the beginning of the season, that humidity truly affects teams, especially teams that can't practice in that. But I will say, the Patriots wide receiver core, minus Antonio Brown, is excellent.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins DBs, now they got a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Micah Fitzpatrick last week, he was getting shellacked.
Which is weird. Because he's supposed a good player.
Yeah, he was getting shellacked. So I don't see that going too well.
Yeah.
You
know what's so funny?
But
this is not going to be a blowout, man.
No, oh, no. They're going to respond. The Dolphins are going to respond. Man, you think Brian Flores isn't challenging their manhood right now?
Yeah.
Like, this is where he's going to pick guys that are his team in the future.
To go forward.
Because he ain't going nowhere.
Yep.
He don't have to win this year.
Yep.
The owners already discussed that. Hey, Brian, go back. Bring in your culture. Mm-hmm. Do what you got to do.
Break it down.
We'll get some draft picks. Tell us who's good and who's not. Mm-hmm. We're going to build for the future because we have to. All this other stuff we've been doing hasn't worked. He's going to try to see who breaks.
Yep.
He's going to say, oh, that guy, I roll with him.
Mm-hmm.
What has Belichick done?
Same thing.
The players on that team. They bought in. They're tough. This is a game that he's going to find his future pieces of his team.
Yeah.
I agree.
I didn't really know too much about Flores, but I saw him do an interview on when they were talking about the Kenny Stills.
Oh, did I see that too?
Jay Bell.
Loved it.
I saw it.
I love him.
I fell in love with him.
I love him.
Fell in love with the
love
guy.
Him.
I said, you know what? I'm supporting this guy
and
this team. No matter what, man.
Yep, I do.
Fell in love with him.
I like him. I like him too. Mm-hmm. Who you think is going to win out of the Saints and the Rams? Quick.
Oh, I'm going with the Saints, man.
You going Saints?
I don't like the way the Rams. I know they won the game, but I don't like the way they did it. I don't like the way Goff played. I feel like the Saints are going to punch them in the mouth, even though the game isn't in New Orleans. If the game was in New Orleans, I'll say that they're going to beat them to sleep. But the game being in LA, I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going with New Orleans.
I like everything you say, except you just made me go with the Rams because they're on grass.
They're on grass. I know.
They're not good on grass, bro. But you're right. I think the Saints are a better team. I think Goff did not play great.
Yeah.
But I like what they're doing with their running backs, Malcolm Brown, Todd Gurley. Defense seems to be – I like what's happening. I think they'll be good on grass. Yeah. I'll go with that.
We'll see.
Let's get into some questions, though, because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Ask OC, hashtag first, ask J Bell. Rick Chasey, Chase Lee or Chase – how do you say this?
Chasey,
yeah, I said it right, yeah. What makes this is pretty good. What makes an O lineman good?
Mm-hmm.
What techniques and what techniques did you struggle with? So that's at you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't struggle with no O line techniques because I didn't get up there with that mess.
Yeah.
But what makes an O lineman good, OC? That's a good question.
It is a very good question.
Ricky, we call you Ricky.
Yeah. I think it's the right combination of size, strength, and athleticism.
Yes.
Because you got to understand. And I'm not trying to be any type of way, but in my opinion, because of the size of defensive linemen and the way we move, the defensive linemen are probably the best athletes on the team.
The best big athletes, yes. Yeah. You are the best big athletes. DBs are the best small athletes.
Yes. So you have to contend with people running 4.4s, 4.5s, flying off that edge
at
you.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying to take your quarterback off. You got to contend with people like Aaron Donald in the inside.
Oh, my
The level of athleticism you have to contend with.
Yep.
So you have to be able to match that.
Yep.
And so for me, I struggled with guys who are like very, very good athletes.
Yes.
So guys like Jason Peters, a guy like Orlando Pace.
Oh, gosh.
People like that. And the technique they would use was called a jump set technique, which is for me, because I was a speed rusher, what they would do is they would like almost jump out of me to cut off that speed right away.
And slow you down.
Yeah, slow you down right away. And the only way to beat that was an inside move. But if you're playing against a guy like Jason Peters and Mike Vick was his quarterback for the longest, if you do that, Vick was out the pocket.
He was gone.
Gone. So you had to almost stay there and fight him. Orlando Pace, Walter Jones.
Oh, just, yeah, I know your Walter Jones battles. Oh, I love goodness. Those stories.
It was crazy. Orlando Pace did something to me that I didn't even think was possible. I played this guy in 2005, and I knew the snap counts. Like, I literally knew the snap counts.
That's not the first time you knew the snap
count. Yeah, but this one was ugly because I knew what their snap count. I wasn't watching anything.
Like,
I could hear their snap counts. So literally, and I went to the official, I told him, listen, I have a tail, so I'm gonna be jumping off the ball. So I went to the official, told him that. Jason, I'm not exaggerating. I was moving literally half a second before the ball.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I was – on tape, it looked
– like he was jumping off sides.
It looked ridiculous on tape.
Like, what does he know?
Yes. Every single time I did this, and I did this for like 30 plays, this dude was back there waiting on me. Till this day, I can't understand how that happened. Because, Jason, that doesn't happen. It's physically impossible. It's physically impossible for me to be moving a half a second before
no,
you.
No, true.
And you know my speed coming off that edge. And for you to still be able to get back there in time to not let me sniff the quarterback. And every time I see him, I go up to him, I give him a big hug. And I'm like, I don't know how you were able to do that. The best offensive performance I've ever
and
seen.
And he gives
in my
you nothing.
Life.
He doesn't give you no nuggets.
He doesn't tell me. The best, because there is no nuggets.
Right.
He wasn't jumping the snap count.
No.
He was moving when he was supposed to.
Yes.
So he was just that big, athletic, 6'7", long. Oh. So his first step was like.
Long. You said it.
And he was just there waiting on me. So, yeah.
You know what's crazy about this? And I know we're going into this, but this is really cool. Offensive line and defensive backs.
Yeah.
Are truly the most reactive positions in football.
Yes.
So if you're weak at offensive line, you're going against a top-level athlete, and if you're weak at defensive back, you're going against a top-level athlete. You have to be a reactive athlete.
Reactive speed.
You have to be able to read. Like, when they play against you, they have to know your tendencies or they don't have a chance. They don't. That's a good one. All right. Sophie. All right. What's up, Sophie? Having just watched the Broncos at the Raiders, right, is it more of a challenge to play on a field usually used for baseball? Nice question.
Yeah, because they have that dirt part, and it gets tricky. I played in Oakland
before.
You
have to learn.
Yeah.
Before the game, you go out in the dirt part, and you're spending all your time there, right?
Yep. Checking your cleats, see if it sticks in there. I had a great game in Oakland, I'll tell you that. But it's difficult because you have to get comfortable with the footing, especially in that dirt area.
Yes, you know where you'll be on the field and when you're playing on it. By the way, the dimensions are. I used to go over there and just make sure I could cut in there, and how I had to change up how I planted. Mm-hmm.
But when you're playing, you don't really think about that, though.
You just have to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't even occur to you. When you're playing, that there's something different about that field. Strange.
I know.
Lorcan Cavanaugh.
Mm-hmm. Lorcan Cavanaugh. This is a good one. How long until Danny Dimes replaces your man Eli as a starter at the New York Giants?
It's going to be a while for him, man.
Danny Dimes.
Yeah, Danny Dimes. It's going to be a while for him, man.
Yeah,
unless Eli gets hurt, it's going to be a while for him.
Man, do you think the head coach is going in there pleading with the owner?
Listen, they're not going to make that mistake again.
No. This is what you need to realize. They made this mistake.
Yeah.
The fans said no bueno.
No.
So the owners saw, and those owners respond to fans' request.
Yep.
Eli has love.
Yep.
Shout out to Eli.
As he should.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Dimes might be diamond on the sideline.
But I'll tell you this.
I'll
tell you this. He does look good, and in – regards to Eli, okay?
Yeah.
Eli's my guy.
We got love for Eli.
Eli's your guy. Yeah. We got a lot of love for Eli, right? But I'll tell you this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Eli's played, this is 16th season.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Two-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP. Eli Manning has
checked the boxes.
He's been a Pro Bowl quarterback. Eli Manning, and I didn't even know this, he has made the most money out of anybody in NFL history.
That makes sense.
Eli Manning has made the most money out of any person, any single player in NFL history.
First pick of the draft and hit all the deals.
Nobody's feeling sorry for him.
All right. And you wouldn't know he had all that money.
No.
I bet he has holes in his jeans.
I'm not feeling sorry for Eli Manning, okay? Eli, whenever they sit Eli down, Eli just go sit down. I love you to death, bro. You know that, but come on, man. You've done it all.
Yes.
Just the same conversation we just had.
Yeah.
Same conversation we just had. He can walk away in peace with his head held high. Man. Good to go.
He'll be the king of New York forever, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you for downloading the number 15. Simon, is this right? The number 15 podcast in the UK. OC, man. 15. 15, bro.
We getting there.
Man. Oh, man, this is serious. Thank you for all your reviews, of course. Emma in Scotland says, listening to you two on the beach in, what is this place? Why does Simon say
Loch Ness? Is that Loch Ness?
What is this?
Lanzarote.
You're so international, bro.
You feel me?
What would I be without you?
Listen. What would I be without you?
She said, you guys are ballin'. Love you. Thank you, Emma. But don't, you know I can't pronunciate words like that. Enunciate.
Enunciate. Pronounce. Enunciate.
And enunciate. Yeah. I can't pronounce and I can't enunciate. Yeah, you see that.
Enunciate.
Yeah. Scottish Ram. Man, that sounds like a drink.
Yeah.
Scottish Ram. Yeah. You guys are doing America and the NFL proud. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. OC needs to get on the bike and do another holdout. Because whatever they are paying you, it is not enough. Did you hear that, Alistair Kirkwood?
I tell you what, Scottish Ram. I tell you what. Because I have entered the last year of my deal.
Ooh!
And, you know.
Scottish Ram, you got it started.
Hold on. Jason, you're in the last year.
Oh!
We need an exercise bike in here. And we're going to sit it right there in the lobby. And then they're going to walk in. They're just going to see us riding the bike. Like, what? The podcast? Nah, no podcast today.
NFL lobby exercise bike in the lobby. No podcast today. Hey, I tell you what, Scottish Ram, that's a good one. That is a good one. OC, once again, we're sweating. They need to fix this air in here. But you know what? It keeps us humble.
Mm-hmm.
And you always talk about it. You got to be humble to be great.
Yes, sir.
Keep the love coming. Let's see what week two has to offer. We're out of here. Uprise all day. I don't care if there's any music or not. Uprise all day. OC and Jason podcast. Jason and OC podcast. Whatever you want to call it, we're out.